Save big on your next project right now at Menards. From mold and mildew stains and hard-to-stick surfaces, preparing your paint project has never been easier than with Bullseye 123. Zinsser Bullseye 123 Primer is an all-purpose, high-performance, water-based primer for interior and exterior residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Save big on Bullseye 123 Primer. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Have you ever had to put your plans on hold due to symptoms of generalized myasthenia gravis, or GMG? Like taking that weekend trip, talking with friends, or enjoying a meal? Learn about a treatment option that may help. Visit treatgmg.com to learn more. That's treatgmg.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, the stunning weather was the highlight of the weekend, and our reporter Elaine Smith chatted to people who were enjoying that sunshine in Cork.
So it's nice. It's a bit too warm now, though. Just not used to it in Ireland. It's not used to that weather. I'd prefer now if I was on holidays, you know, and I'd have the water and the pool and the beach next to me to cool down. It's just too much of a dead heat over here now. But you have to get your sun cream right and a nice few drinks and go out and enjoy the weather.
What's essential on a day like today?
A load of sun cream, a load of water, ice cream, a nice night to name with a flair.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's been fantastic.
Is it too warm for you?
Not at all. I actually wouldn't mind another few degrees myself.
And what's a necessity on a day like today for you?
I think the beach, you know, because it's just so hot. It's kind of nice to be able to jump in the water and cool off, you know. Maybe a couple of beers as well. That'd be kind of a perfect day in my opinion.
Yes, sure, it's just beautiful. Delighted to have it. Chilling now today, but not to the beach. I'm sure it won't stay for too long, so it's perfect. Yeah. Embrace it while we have it.
And what's a necessity for you on a day like today?
Well, I don't know what 99, but I'd be going for the iced coffee anyway.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's great to get it at long last. We're a long time waiting for this heat wave to come. So it's great.
And it's not too warm for you? How are you surviving in it?
It is a bit warm, but sure, it's better than rain, what we normally get, so yeah. We'll enjoy it.
Yeah, is there any necessity on a day like today that you need to get through?
Well, just ice cream is definitely a must for the day, and cold drinks. Other than that, yeah, I'm not at home, I'm working, so if I was at home, we probably would have a barbecue, but the ideal weather for it.
Are you enjoying the weather that we're having at the moment?
Yes, it's lovely. It's really nice.
It's not too hot for you or anything?
No, I mean, in Germany, it's much hotter than here anyways, usually in the summertime. We're supposed to have a heat wave soon as well, from like 40 to 46 degrees. So this is really nice for me. I'm enjoying it, yeah.
And how are you going to survive with that temperatures over in Germany?
Being at the pool all day long, basically, or just having a fan going, that's really all you can do.
Yeah, it's unreal. I didn't expect it to be so hot. Well, I'm working out at the moment, so it's not really enjoyable. I'd love to be at the beach now, or go for a few pints in a beer garden or something, just sit out and enjoy it while it lasts anyway.
It's unreal, to be fair. And with all the bad weather that we're after having, you know, it's great that it's sunny. It actually is a bit too warm for me, you know.
What's a necessity for you on a day like today? Is it a 99, a trip to the beach, maybe a barbecue with friends?
Yeah, barbecue is nice. Iced coffee, or else going to the beach. A few pints as well. Can't go wrong.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Being in work kind of kills it. But other than that, I love it. I'm not a big fan of the beach, like, but I'd love to be sitting outside now sunbathing or something.
Yeah, it's lovely, yeah. This is actually the perfect temperature, I think, yeah.
What's a necessity for you on a day like today?
Yeah, maybe like an ice cream, Casanova gelato, a bit of a swim, a few beers. We're looking at an evening swim, maybe. Yeah, you know, just to get the last of the sun before going home.
People enjoying the sunshine in Cork, and speaking to reporter Elaine Smith. Well, as Britain also heats up and temperatures there will be far higher than here, in excess of 40 degrees in some places, the race to succeed Boris Johnson is also heating up, with the five remaining candidates having a good go at each other on television last evening. To give us the latest on all of that, we're joined by Vincent McAvinney, freelance correspondent based in London. Vincent, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, let's talk about that television debate last night. It's kind of a funny thing. People get to see these people debating on TV, but ordinary people, if they're not members of the Tory party, have no input whatsoever into the outcome.
Yeah, that's right. Just to explain the system, what's going on right now is that there is basically a whittling down of the five candidates to just two on Thursday. That's only being done members of parliament. So there is a bit of surprise and a bit of uncomfortableness in Party, that they're doing these TV debates now because it's not the general public that gets to vote, or even the Conservative Party members at this point. It's just MPs. And are they actually doing more damage to the party and the candidates than is necessary? But yes, come Thursday, there will just be two left, and they then go into about a five-week campaign for the votes of around just 170,000 paid-up Conservative members around this country, a country of 65 million in the hands of 170,000.
Now, there were a number of moments last night in the debate last evening, but I suppose the one that's got the most attention is when the five candidates were asked, would they have Boris Johnson in a cabinet were they to be elected, and their hands stayed resolutely by their sides. The only one, I suppose, of honour in that bunch was Tom Tugendhat, who certainly, and long before this, wouldn't have had any truck with Boris Johnson, but the rest of them served with him.
Yeah, it's a really good idea by ITV last night, actually, to make that a non-verbal answer. Just to you couldn't fudge that one. It had to be cut and dry, because Suello Braverman, who got kicked out of the competition last week, had for Boris Johnson some kind of government position. So to check with all of them was a good tactic. But Tom Tugendhat's whole campaign, he is, though, likely to get booted out at this round of voting today. His campaign is that the Conservatives need a clean break, that he wasn't involved in government, that the legacy of Boris Johnson will be something that Keir Starmer uses for the next 2 years before the election to absolutely bash this party, and that he's the best option for voters to go ahead. Now, there are some people that can put more of a distance between themselves and Boris Johnson. So Penny Mordaunt and Kemi were on the lower ranks of government. They weren't in cabinet and making the big decisions like Rishi and Liz Truss were. But it is going to be a problem, particularly, you know, Rishi is still the front runner in this round, not so much with the Conservative voters who will be deciding this ultimately. But if he is the one that's selected, you know, he is the person that signed off on every decision Boris Johnson made directly. So he is probably facing the biggest threat from Boris Johnson's legacy.
Yeah. So when it finally goes to the public in a general election, a lot of questions for him to answer at that stage. Now, you mentioned Kemi Badenoch and the likelihood that she will not survive the whole thing. But there was a moment which was quite good when she criticised Tom Tugendhat, saying he had no ministerial experience. We've been out there on the front line of government, she said. And he says, I've been on the front line of Afghanistan and Iraq. That's a good put down.
It was a very good put down. And I think it shows the carefulness that politicians need with their language. There has been a sort of sliding in standards using those really hyperbolic terms, you know, describing themselves as in the trenches and all that sort of thing. And you do have to remember that even on that stage, there is a services person who is listening to that. And there are service people around the country listening to that, who many in this country through the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq struggle still with PTSD. And to use that kind of language when you're sitting comfortably in a Whitehall department with civil servants all around you is probably not best advised in a party which really sort of campaigns on the fact that it protects and looks after military service personnel.
So if Tom Tugendhat is departing today, it will leave four people who were enablers one way or the other of Boris Johnson. So talk about, you know, plus ça change, plus c'est la même chose.
Very much so. And, you know, if polling is to be believed in party members, we will end up with Penny Mordaunt and Rishi Sunak. And I think, you know, Penny was a more junior minister in this government. Rishi was, you know, living in Downing Street through the pandemic years with Boris Johnson, signing off on all the decisions and also aware of the party culture that was going on. He himself received a fixed penalty notice for breaking the law. So that to Labour will be an absolute gift in the next 2 years if he is the person elected. As on top of that, his huge personal wealth, you know, if the two if the dominant narrative in the next it's sort of 2 years to the election is the cost of living crisis in this country, you've got someone who is incredibly wealthy, billionaire rich. And I think that is something that probably Labour are absolutely delighted with at this point.
Now, moving on to the other, however temporary a crisis it is, a crisis nonetheless, and that is the soaring temperatures which are predicted, not like here where we're talking about the early 30s at most, but in Britain, the early 40s, and that's the kind of weather that would keep you indoors on continental Europe.
I mean, it is now, it's not that, you know, it's 10:40 in the morning, and in my flat, which is in Greenwich in East London, it is now 31 degrees centigrade. So that is, you know, not even midday. The Met Office here saying it will be an 80% chance that the UK record for heat, which was at 38.7 degrees Celsius set in 2019, will be smashed today. They are talking about a top temperature now of 41 degrees centigrade. And our infrastructure and systems and houses in this country are just not designed to cope with this. So the Met Office putting out strong warnings, the first time this level 4 warning has gone out, of a danger to life, but also infrastructure, not just the health and care services, but the transport network, the energy network as well. People being advised today to try and reduce appliance usage as well, because it is going to be a very difficult 48 hours in the UK.
And the question of potential mortality, I know in places like France, Portugal, Spain, Italy, when the temperatures soar, there is an increase in mortality as people who have underlying ailments simply cannot cope.
That's right. And I think there is a bit of concern here that perhaps the government is not taking this seriously enough. Yesterday, there was a COBRA emergency meeting bringing together departments and emergency services to come up with a strategy. But the Prime Minister didn't attend. He instead threw a farewell garden party at his Chequers country estate. A junior minister was in charge of running that. And then you had the Deputy Prime Minister Dominic Raab going out on television telling people to enjoy the sunshine, which was immediately shut down by health authorities and the Met Office, telling people, no, you need to stay inside, stay in the shade, keep hydrated. So there is going to perhaps be a big lesson in the UK in the next 48 hours, sadly, that these temperatures, which are now becoming more and more common in the sort of register, which goes back decades of highest temperatures in the UK, seven of the top 10 have been since the year 2003. So it shows that this is a building pattern due to climate change.
Now, it's interesting, if you're looking for an analysis of how things have changed because of the temperature, I was looking at the London Ambulance Service typically gets 5,500 calls in a day, and it has seen 7,000 rising to 8,000 calls in a day, and they're relating a lot of that increase to the increasing temperatures.
That's right. And the ambulance service is already under huge pressures. People in the service have come out and said that it is on the verge of collapse. You've had ambulance wait times increasing dramatically. You've had huge queues at hospitals as well to offload patients, which at times has just made ambulances unavailable for other emergencies. So it is going to be a pretty difficult 48 hours for those working in the NHS.
All right. Vincent, thank you very much for joining us. That's Vincent McAvenny.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Save big on everything for your next project at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust 5-in-1 Spray Paint lets you choose from five unique spray patterns with a twist of the dial. Use it on a wide range of wood or metal projects for long-lasting results. Choose from over 50 color options available now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save.